And of course, our special guest tonight, Sid Roth, as we talk about miracles and more to come on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Sid Roth with us, of course, as we talk about miracles. Sid, do you get into angels at all in your work?
Many of my guests see angels. I have personally seen angels. I can tell you as a fact, I have two angels assigned to me. And as a matter of fact, is there any way we can find out if people actually were healed from the words I spoke in that first segment?
Probably not with phone calls, because we don't have enough lines for that. But what we can do is have them send us some fast blast messages.
Yeah, that would be good, and it would be an encouragement to the other listeners.
Yeah, we'll be able to track it easier tomorrow, Sid, but we'll see.
We were talking about miracles, and I have to tell you, and from my own life, one of the greatest miracles I ever saw was my Orthodox Jewish father. My father was born in Poland, his father, my grandfather, and of course, for those that might just be tuning in now, didn't hear the earlier part, I happen to be Jewish, and most of my family was exterminated in the Holocaust in Europe, especially in Poland.
Of course, Ahmadinejad from Iran says it never happened, right? Unbelievable.
Well, it just shows how...
That's another story.
Anyway, the greatest shame of his life, when I had my epiphany and my encounter with Jesus, I could not keep quiet about it, because for the first time in my life, I mean, I didn't understand what was going on, but then I started studying, and most people don't know this, George, but the Bible is the best book on the planet to understand the invisible world. And I found out so many things that I didn't understand. For instance, the 103rd Psalm says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He has healed all my diseases." And I never knew this, but when I went into the Torah, the Old Testament, and I read the prophet Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and then when I studied the Talmud, I found out they called the Messiah the leprous Messiah. And the reason they did is when they read Isaiah 53, the rabbis, some 800 years before Jesus came to earth, it describes, well, here, let me read this, but in the Hebrew, it doesn't read quite the same in the English. In Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our sicknesses," that's what it says in the Hebrew, "and carried our pains." So the 103rd Psalm says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. He's forgiven all of my sins." So he bore not only all of the sins of all of humanity, he bore all the sicknesses, he bore all of the pains. And then it says, "By his stripes we are healed." Well, when he was beaten, blood came.
Right.
And by his blood, we are healed. And I didn't understand these things. Going back to my Orthodox Jewish father, I had to tell everyone that Jesus paid the price for our sins, and we can, if we repent of our sins and tell him we're sorry and believe Jesus died and rose from the dead, then our sins are not just like on the old covenant. It says they were covered. That's what the word atonement means. They were atoned or covered with the blood of an unblemished animal. But under the new covenant, which was predicted in the Jewish scriptures, it says our sins were remitted, which means they are totally wiped out. And there's nothing separating us from the love of God. And I just couldn't keep quiet about this. And there were three major newspapers in Washington, D.C., where I was at the time. That was where I was born. And one, which doesn't exist today, was called the Washington Daily News. If you look in the archives, you can find it. There was a headline, and it said, White Collar Jesus Freaks. And on the front page, I was the number one person talked about. And everyone in the city of Washington, especially in the Jewish community, knew that I was a believer in Jesus. My father's in the Orthodox synagogue, and he was terribly embarrassed over this. And we had a very strained relationship over this. And but one day he said to me, "Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. You tell me why Jesus is the Jewish Messiah." And I couldn't believe my ears. And so I said, "Well, Dad, look here at this Isaiah 53. And I read it to him. And you know what he said to me? He said, "Stop. I'm reading it now from the Bar Mitzvah Bible I had, the Jewish Bible, not a Christian Bible." And he said, "Stop. You're talking about Jesus." I said, "That's my whole point." He said, "There must be something wrong with the Bible." And I showed him it was inscribed to me from our Orthodox rabbi. It was a kosher Bible. And then I talked to him, "You know, Dad, the entire history of the Jewish people, past, present, and future, and by the way, there's some wars coming that are described in the Bible." And someone was just healed as I said that. Someone's neck. "If you will move your head where you had pain, you'll see that that pain is totally gone." George, you're going to get so many emails or letters in of people that have been healed from just...
You're healing my entire audience tonight, Sid.
Pardon?
You're healing my entire audience tonight.
Whoa, let's get it straight. God is.
All right.
Anyway, George, so I said, "Dad, the entire history of the Jewish people was written before the fact in the Bible. And we know that no one's tampered with it because we have the revelation of the Dead Sea Scrolls." And so it said that because of sin, we would lose our homeland, be scattered to the four corners of the earth, which we were, and wherever we would go, we'd be in fear and trembling.
And that's true.
And that's the history of the Jewish people. But then it said a great miracle would happen. A nation, Isaiah says, a nation will be formed in one day. And Israel was formed in one day. And look at the circumstances, George, that had to occur for the world. Could you picture the UN, if Israel wasn't a nation today, and there was a vote before the UN, whether Israel could be a nation, you know how much chance they would have? I'm not even sure the United States would vote for them at this point.
Good point. Good point.
No one would vote for them. But because of the Holocaust, the conscience of the world was so pierced that for that split second, the UN voted that Israel could be a Jewish nation. And that's how Israel got started. And so in one day, Israel became a nation. Then it says they'll speak the ancient language in the streets of Judea, and they're speaking it, Hebrew. And it says the Jews, although we'd be persecuted from the four corners of the earth, as long as there's a sun and moon and stars, there would be a physical Jew on the face of this earth. And you know something? After 2,000 years of
it's
a people going to scatter to the four corners of the earth, as the Bible said we would be, there should be no Jew alive today with the persecution we've gone through as a people. Every country outside the U.S. has spit us out, as the Bible says it would.
Well, what does it tell you, though, Sid, about this prophecy? If it's obviously accurate.
Does
that mean end times prophecy is also accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, I know where we're at. In fact, I had a dream. I don't know if God speaks to you in dreams, George, but he speaks to me.
Well, somebody does. I don't know if it's God or not.
Okay. Well, George, God speaks to me in dreams. And several months back, I had a dream. I won't go into detail. This is quite long. But the bottom line of the dream was Jesus said three times to me, "I'm coming back soon. I'm coming back soon." I'm coming back soon. And so I was, and I believe it is soon. So I showed my father these predictions that the Bible said everything came true. Then I showed my father the predictions about the Messiah. Now, very few Jewish people know this. We're just not taught it. For instance, the prophet Micah says the Messiah, whoever he is, would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Well, at the time Micah penned this, there were five Bethlehems. The Messiah just happened to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Then it says that the Gentiles will follow the Jewish Messiah. Who did the Gentiles follow? Jesus. Right. It said he'd be an ancestor of King David. It said that he would be betrayed. Listen how specific this is. Zechariah says the Messiah would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Remember, this was written thousands of years ago, before Jesus even came to earth. He'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver.
All right, let me ask you this. I'm going to use the phrase the devil's advocate for a moment.
Okay.
But could we have had a person on this planet named Jesus who understood Scripture and said, I'm going to act this out. I'm going to do exactly that's written in Scripture. I'm even going to find a guy named Judas and have him sell me out for 30 pieces of silver.
Well, let me just finish this one prophecy which blows that out of the water. Okay. And by the way, that would have been a very foolish thing for him to do. Do you know how excruciating painful it is to die by crucifixion?
I don't even want to think about it.
I can't imagine anyone wanting to play that role intentionally,
no.
Can you? Except one. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. And he went, as Isaiah says, as a lamb to the slaughter.
True.
For me, for you, for the whole world. Anyway,
he didn't necessarily want to go through that, though. I mean, there were days he begged, right? He begged
because,
that he not go through this.
Because although he was 100% God, he stripped himself of his authority and came and lived as a man.
He was
and as
human.
A man, he was in humanity, and he knew what pain was like. But this was not a pain. If someone died by crucifixion, it's probably one of the most excruciating deaths possible. I might add, King David describes crucifixion before the Romans even started using it in the Bible, a perfect description in the 22nd Psalm of crucifixion.
All right. Well, I don't want to get too far off topic here on miracles. So
yeah, but let me make this one point.
All right.
Zechariah says not only would he be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, which Jesus was, but they would throw the silver in a place called the Potter's Field. That's where Jesus was buried, in Potter's Field. How much more precise can you get? And that shows it couldn't have been planned. The Romans, he couldn't get the Roman army to do exactly what he wanted. So in any event, let's get back to miracles. Let me tell you another one of my favorite ones, George.
Okay.
There is a fellow, he's a pastor today. His name is Pastor Gary Whetstone. His church is in Newark, Delaware. And this is all documented, what I'm about ready to tell you. Gary went into a mental institution. It was a bad one for the criminally insane, and they were going to do what was known as an electronic lobotomy on him, which means once this was done, it's not reversible. He would be like a vegetable the rest of his life, but that's what they did to people that were so crazy back then that they didn't know what to do with them.
Right. That's true.
And so... they're about ready to do this, and a pastor is in there and says a little prayer with him, and he becomes a believer in Jesus, and he's instantly in his right mind. So he goes to the doctor, and he tries to tell the doctor he's in his right mind because he doesn't want this lobotomy now. And so he starts telling the doctor, well, this guy had a prayer, and I prayed, and I accepted Jesus, and I'm okay now. Well, the doctor doesn't want to hear any of this. And so they're scheduling a lobotomy, and all of a sudden, Gary hears an audible voice. It's the voice of God. And God says, run. And this, although it was locked up with all sorts of security locks, it was a, you know, an institution for the criminally insane.
Yeah.
The doors were open, and he ran out, and he escaped, and he did not have the lobotomy. 3 days later,
but I'm sure they were looking for him, right?
Oh, they were not only looking for him. When he went out, a car actually was headed towards him and should have hit him. This is the amazing part.
He's
of the
right
story.
Out on the road. Okay.
Yeah, on the road, it should have hit him. You know, he's running out. He's dressed like someone in an institution. But he's running for his life, though, and he knows it because he's back in his mind, right senses. And so this car, it looks like it's going to hit him, and he escapes. Well, 3 days later, this same voice comes to him, the voice of God, and this voice says, return to the institution. And he was pretty much like me. Anything God tells me, I'll do instantly. I'm not stupid. I'm not a sugar crazy.
By the way, very quickly, what does mazel tov mean?
It means good luck.
Okay.
Mazel tov to you, George.
I see that at Jewish weddings, and they're all yelling that.
Yeah, well, they're blessing the young married couple.
Okay.
So he does exactly what the voice tells him. He returns to the mental institution. They give him all sorts of tests, and they say, I don't understand this, but you're totally normal. He doesn't have the lobotomy. Then many years later, he's sharing this story, and a little woman comes up to him, and she says, I want you to know I'm a nurse at that institution for the criminally insane, and I was coming to work that day, and you ran right in front of my car, and my car ran over you, but it ran through you. I don't understand how it happened. And I was really shook up. And I wanted to go into the institution to tell them one of their inmates had escaped. And a voice tells me, do not tell them. And many years later, this nurse tells them that story. And today, he's a happily married pastor.
He's the pastor.
He's the pastor of a very large church, but he had some pretty neat verification. I believe God spared his life. I've heard many stories of this where cars go through cars when they're having an accident.
Oh my God, I've heard many of those too.
But George, all of these great miracles pale compared to the great miracle that happened to my father. I didn't finish that. So I told him all these predictions in the Bible, and then I told him all the predictions where the Bible proves that Jesus is the Messiah, and he didn't want to hear it. That was it. And about all of a sudden, many years later, that same peace I described to you that happened to me as a young man when I was 29 years of age, that same peace that came over me that caused me to become a believer in God, my epiphany, it came over me, but it was very different this time. It was 24 hours a day for 7 days. I was walking almost in a presence, like a cloud. The best way I can describe it is I was walking in a cloud of pure love. Now, I walk in that cloud now, but not to the degree it was at that time. Now, my father, no way in a million years would, because of his background, because my grandfather in Poland used to spit at churches because he felt churches represented Christians who had persecuted
spit
Jews.
At churches. Sid, we're coming right back with more on Coast to Coast AM. With Sid Roth as our guest, next hour we'll take your phone calls with him as we talk about miracles. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Sid Roth. Sid, I want to get into some of your prophecies of what's going on in the Middle East these days, but get back to your grandfather. So he spit at churches? How come?
Because, unfortunately, people that called themselves Christians are probably the group that did the most horrible anti-Semitic crimes to Jewish people over the centuries. Now, what I tried to explain to my dad was there's a difference between religion and relationship. And that was religion that did it. But anyone that is a true follower of the Messiah of Israel, this is what the Messiah said, you'll know my Talmudim, my disciples, by their love. And so, but my father couldn't distinguish between someone, and by the way, very few Christians are Christians. They're Christians by religion, but not by having, Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. And I know, here's the good news, everyone can have intimacy with God. But there was no way my father would become a believer in Jesus because of all this anti-Semitism. So I told you about for a week, the love of God came on me every day. And then I get a phone call from the hospital. Your father's in intensive care. He just has minutes to live. You better get over here fast. So my sister and I went there. And I said, you know, Dad, Mom, and my mother became a believer in the Messiah. Mom used to say, heaven must be the most wonderful place. Mom's in heaven now. And Shirley, my sister, and I, we're going to be in heaven. Wouldn't you like to be in heaven? And my father at this point couldn't speak. He had no voice. He was eaten up by cancer. He was a chain smoker. All of a sudden, he belted out, yes. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened to him, George. The presence of God came on him. In the natural, there is no way with what my father went through and his father, my grandfather, and our people that my father could have become a believer in Jesus. But just before he died, the love of God came on him, and he did. To me, that was one of the greatest miracles that I have ever seen, knowing that because of false information, he had rejected Jesus as the Messiah. My belief is this, and I think you might believe the same thing, George. I believe there is not a God of the Muslims and a God of the Christians and a God of the Jews. No, there's only one God, and according to the Torah, the one God of the world is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And just as there is only one God, I do not believe there's a Messiah for the Muslims, a Messiah for the Jews, and a Messiah for the Christians. I believe there's only one Messiah for the whole world, the Jew, Jesus.
I agree. Now, you know what's been going on in the Middle East, the uprisings and everything?
I'm Israeli, remember.
That's right. And the situation with Syria, we're going to vote on this pretty soon. Where do you tie prophecy, Sid, into what's going on today?
Well, there are a number of wars that are predicted in the Bible. Since the Bible has amazing facts about the first coming of the Messiah, about the return of the Messiah, about the whole history of the Jewish people, I have to believe that everything predicted in the Bible is going to come true. The next thing that is going to happen in the Middle East, mark my words, I can't tell you when, but I do believe based on what's going on in the world that it's going to be very, very soon. The next thing that's going to happen in the Middle East is the nuking of Damascus. It says that Damascus, Syria, will be so destroyed that no one will ever live there again. And also, one other thing.
Who would nuke? Israel would have to be the ones to. I don't think we're going to.
You think it's going to be the U.S.? Give me a break, George.
It won't be that.
It's pretty sad. I'm not a I'm pretty apolitical. I was born in Washington, D.C. Most of my younger life, I wasn't even able to vote. I have to tell you, the gentleman in the White House right now will go down in history, unless a miracle happens, as the most anti-Semitic president in history. But in any event, the Bible says there will be what it describes as Damascus will be nuked. It also tells, it's pretty clear, that the Muslim countries that are touching Israel, that all these surrounding countries, they're going to be a non-player. So I believe, and the Bible also says in the prophet Amos, once the Jews return to the land of Israel, which has occurred in 1948, no one will ever get them out again. The Bible also says what will trigger judgment on nations. The prophet Joel in the second chapter says that in the last days, the thing that will bring the judgment of God on nations, and this will surprise you, it's for one specific sin, and unless you knew it, you would never guess it in a million years. The one particular sin that will trigger judgment on a nation, and I quote it exactly, is for dividing up my land. Now, what has, and it's not a Republican or a Democratic issue, because Republicans and Democrats have tried to divide up the land of Israel. But so therefore, it will occur, and it will trigger judgment on any nation that tries to divide up the land of Israel. So the next thing I see happening is huge devastation in Syria, Egypt, all the nations touching Israel that are Muslim.
Third World War?
Well, you know, I think that this is going to be a short war, and it's going to be a war that will be settled with a peace agreement that'll be a temporary, and this I do know, it's in the Bible, it'll be a temporary peace agreement. Look, if you were Israel and you knew your neighbors had a nuke and they want to destroy you and they have the ability to do it, would you do something preemptive? Of course you would. What have you got to lose?
If I had a neighbor who was threatening me every day across my fence, I'd do something.
Yeah. Yes, Israel is going to do something. But I'll tell you, and here's a spiritual truth that very few Christians have ever even seen. And that is God punishes Israel for their sin. And if you study the Torah, you'll see time and again we Jewish people sinned, and we were punished by God. But God uses Israel to punish the nations. When anyone goes against Israel, they get trumped by God. And throughout history, you can study this. So it's a dangerous, it comes from Genesis 12:3, in which the Bible says, I, God, will bless those who bless the Jewish people, and I, God, will curse those who curse them. So this is just a spiritual truth that you might want to keep your eye on. And I would say that when you see the United States orchestrating a two-state solution and they achieve it, I think I may pack my bags and go to Israel. And you say, Sid, they're surrounded by all these neighbors that are now getting nukes. Why would you want to be in Israel? Because I have it in the Bible, Israel will survive. I don't have it in the Bible, the United States will survive. George?
No, we'll see what happens. These are interesting times. We need a miracle, Sid.
And I know how. Oh, speaking of miracles, can I tell you one quick miracle that of a friend of mine?
Yeah, what happened to her?
Her name is Dolores Winder. And did you ever hear of a woman that operated in miracles by the name of Catherine Coleman? She's dead now, but she used to have a TV show. Did you ever hear of Catherine Coleman?
I have not, no.
Okay, she was actually in Los Angeles a lot also. Anyway, Dolores Winder had a very rare bone disease. Literally, her bones could not absorb calcium and other minerals, and her bones became old and brittle before their time, her time. And she went down to 73 pounds. She was in such horrible pain, they took a drastic step. They burned out the nerves in the lower part of her body. The good news is she didn't have pain. The bad news is she couldn't use the lower part of her body. They put her in a body cast. And through a long story, which is, I have a number of books, and if anyone's interested in my books, can I give my webpage?
Yes, you can. I have a link for you, by the way, already attached to our website.
Oh, wonderful. I have two webpages. If you'd like, I'd like to do something special for your audience. I'd like to give them a book free. The book I'd like to give them is my story of what I've been sharing on the air with you. It's not just mine. It's 10 Jewish people. It's called They Thought for Themselves. And if they go to, I'm not sure which link you have. I have two links.
SidRoth.org.
That one, they'll see 700 of my archived TV shows. These stories I'm telling you, they'll be able to see that at no charge. If they go to Sid Roth, that's my name with no space, SIDROTH.org. However, if they want to read my life story and 9 other Jewish people that had amazing experiences, I'll tell you about a few others if you're interested, paralyzed people, Jews in Israel that got healed when the power of God touched them. If they go to the website, which is the name of the book, I'll give them free. They Thought for Themselves, and it's a $15 book, by the way, and I'm going to give it to your viewers free, your listeners free, if they go to theythoughtforthemselves.com. So the two websites, one to see the TV show is sidroth.org, O-R-G. The other is theythoughtforthemselves.com. But anyway, going back to Dolores Winder, Dolores now had a non-reversible burning out of her nerves. That's it. No feeling, no pain, no movement.
Throughout her whole body?
No, throughout the lower part of her body.
Lower part.
But the pain was so excruciating, you can understand why she, and she was dying anyway, so, she just wanted to be out of pain. Well, she went to this Catherine Coleman meeting, and she thought it was absolutely ridiculous. I wish you had seen Catherine Coleman. You can see her miracles on the Internet, but had a speech. Catherine Coleman had a speech impediment, and she had a real effective way of speaking. She dressed really grandiose, and the comedians used to mock her on television. But I'll tell you something. She had some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen in my life. So Dolores went to one of her services, and she wanted to get out. But remember, she needs assistance to get out. And an usher walked by. She was terribly offended. She didn't like what she was seeing. And she was a Christian, but she just didn't like all this charismatic stuff that was going on. And so she stopped this usher, and she said, "Young man, could you please help me out? I must leave this place." And he turned out to be a medical doctor, this usher, and he actually worked with Catherine Coleman to verify miracles. And so he said, "Well, what's wrong with you?" And she said, "Well, I'm going to blow this guy off. I don't want to go into detail. I'll just tell him the name of the disease I have, which no one's ever heard of." So she mentioned the disease, and he knew exactly what it was. This is a medical doctor. And he says, "Okay, but how can you stand?" She was standing. And she said,
"You're not supposed to stand."
"No, I don't have any feeling in the lower part of my body." And he said, "Would you go into the ladies' room and take your cat body cast off?" She went into the ladies' room, took her body cast off, came out, and was totally healed. But what's kind of interesting is that the thing she didn't like, have you ever heard of Benny Hinn?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Benny Hinn's role model was Catherine Coleman, and his style was very similar. It is very similar to Catherine Coleman's. Have you ever seen when he touches someone, they kind of fall over?
They pass off.
Yeah, what happens is the Spirit of God comes on them. Same thing happened with Catherine Coleman. That was the thing that offended Dolores Winder so much that she wanted to get out. Well, she starts talking at a Bible study. She was a Bible teacher. And she starts talking at a Bible study. This is after she was healed. And all of a sudden, she brushes against a woman as she's going, you know, to the front to teach the Bible study. The same thing happened to that woman. And so God has a sense of humor. So wherever she goes and touches someone, the Spirit of God comes on them, and the reason they fall is they can't stand the power of God. In fact,
it's too much energy, isn't it?
In the Old Testament, it says the power of God would come on the priests, and they could not stand. So there is a precedent with this. I just love this miracle. I mean, talk and document it. I'd like to see someone disprove this particular one.
they're everywhere. I mean, we get calls. A truck driver called me one day, said he was going over the side of the road. He was falling asleep, and a hand reached in and grabbed the wheel and pulled him back on the road, except he was the only one in there.
Well, and again, you and I know these things. Most people, and by the way, there's one other thing, George, and I believe in good and evil. I believe in good and evil in the invisible realm. The good and evil defined as God and the devil, defined as angels and demons. And it's a fine line to know the difference between the source of the energy or the power. And because I personally have been on both sides of the fence, the first time I did it through ignorance, I know the difference. So when I interview someone, I make sure that the power is God that they're dealing with. Let me tell you about an obstetrician, Dr. Gary Hill. Do I have time to tell you this quick story?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
All right, good. Dr. Gary Hill, he was an obstetrician, and his wife was pregnant, was going to have a child. They do the ultrasound, and the worst thing that can happen occurred. They said, your child has half a brain missing.
Oh, my.
You must abort the child. Well, Dr. Gary Hill is a Christian, and he says, absolutely not. He's a medical doctor. He knows the risk. And so he quit his job as a doctor. He went home. He read the Bible day and night, and he found hundreds of promises in the Bible for physical healing. He started, and this is very important, he started saying them out loud 400 times a day. He quit his job because he was full-time looking up the promises of God in healing and speaking them with his mouth. There's a spiritual law involved in this. So he did it, and his wife, now they're supposed to abort, but he refuses because he's a Christian. He doesn't want to do it, even though he knows the baby, half the brain is missing, and it would have no quality of life.
No, even be born, stillborn.
Yeah. He started worshiping God. His wife, and the baby is still in the wife. She's still pregnant. He starts worshiping God, and this presence of God that came on me comes on him, that same presence. He touches his wife with baby, you know, very, very pregnant, ready to give birth, falls over backwards, amen, you know, in that condition. And guess what? The baby was born. Normal, even though he can show you the ultrasound.
With a full brain?
With a full brain.
Explain that one, Sid, when we come right back.